We get the hour rolling by welcoming back to the show a talented and prolific author, 16 books into the Charlie Parker stories. Plus, we had him on to talk about his wonderful book, a novel written from the perspective of acting genius Stan Laurel. Fascinating book called He that I've been recommending to everybody. It's so very good. His newest is terrific, and it takes place right here in Maine, and much of it right up the road from us in the Dover area. The book is called The Woman in the Woods, and we're thrilled all the way from Dublin to have John Connolly back with us here on Downtown. Wonderful to have you back on with us here. The new book is entitled The Woman in the Woods, and we'll talk about that in detail in a moment. But why is it that you've chosen Maine for the setting of so many of these books?
Well, I used to work in the state. I was briefly employed as the world's worst waiter by the Black Point Inn out in Scarborough. And when I came to begin writing the books, I wanted to give Parker an affection for a place that I had an affection for, because I'd grown to like Maine an awful lot. I'd come back repeatedly. And also, it wasn't really colonized by crime writers in the same way that somewhere like New York or Boston or New Orleans was colonized. It seemed like kind of virgin territory in a way. It was a place that I could use in a slightly different way, I thought. I had these fantastic, this gorgeous landscape, these wonderful changes of scenery. And in mystery fiction, landscape is very important. You know, we tend to associate detectives with places they move through. So, you know, we associate Raymond Chandler, Philip Marlowe with Los Angeles, or, you know, Spencer with Boston. And so if you can find a landscape that nobody else has taken and try to make it your own and mythologize it, that's quite unusual. That's quite an opportunity to have.
Well, and you've certainly done that in this new book with the area just to the north of us up in Dover, where the body of a woman is found in the woods, but then things take a decidedly different turn and go in all kinds of different directions, from a detective story to a thriller and touches of the supernatural as well.
Yeah, I've always liked mixing the genres in that way. You know, most writers write what they read, and I was brought up reading mystery fiction, but also I read ghost stories, and they're very much a part of my upbringing. You know, I'm Irish, and I grew up in Dublin, and we were always very comfortable with mythology and gothic stories. I didn't see anything wrong with mixing them. It wasn't really done very much in the genre when I started. But I was very comfortable with it. And so it adds a kind of slightly different element to it, I think. The idea that, people aren't evil. People do things, bad deeds. They do things because they're selfish, or they're angry, or they're in love, or they're frightened, and they act out. And sometimes they'll do awful things. But most people aren't evil. Yet very, very, very occasionally we'll encounter a situation where we just think, my goodness, how can somebody do that? How can they seem to leave their humanity entirely behind? And I suppose the Parker books argued that on those occasions, maybe people draw from a deeper, older well. Maybe there's something kind of outside ourselves, and that's the force that we draw on. So I've always been interested in speculating on those kind of levels of evil, from the kind of borderline, general, selfish, angry stuff to something much, much odder and darker.
Well, and in this book, an object, one in particular, takes on a life of its own. And I don't want to give too much away in the story, but I wanted to join in burying that children's toy phone.
Yeah, you're always looking for, it's not really terrifying when, you know, maybe it probably would be if some big creepy monster suddenly jumped out, you know, when you're walking through some fantasy land. What's really strange is when something that is we're so comfortable with, that seems so unthreatening, suddenly becomes a source of danger and disquiet to us. And so, yeah, what happens in the book is that a woman's body is found, as you say, but it's clear that she gave birth shortly before she died, and yet there's no sign of a child. And so Parker is asked to try and find this child as a service to this dead woman. And in a house near the edge of the woods, a child toy phone begins to ring, and when he picks it up, he hears a woman's voice on the end of the line, and the woman asks him, what do they name you? And it's clear that something has found a way to communicate with them. And I found a lovely quiet quote from J.M. Barrie, who was the creator of Peter Pan, and he said the only ghosts he thought really existed were the ghosts of young mothers come to check on their children. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was such a fantastic idea, you know. And actually, I came across that quote, and, you know, halfway through writing the book, And I thought, wow, there's somebody thinking along exactly the same lines that I was.
Well, it works very powerfully in the book. We're talking with John Connolly. His newest is The Woman in the Woods. And I finished the book last night in bed, and it was great. I loved it, even though, I don't know, it was about almost 500 pages, but it was such a quick read because I couldn't put it down. But we had kind of a windy, rainy night, and I had a window partially open, and it was rattling the curtains and the blinds, and at one point, I may have taken your name in vain. I was convinced I heard scratching on the windows, and I thought, it's Karis. Oh, no.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's lovely. There's something lovely about unsettling people. It's very easy to kind of shock people, and it's quite easy to gross them out. But to unsettle them is very, very different. I had an experience very similar to that. I brought a book called Dark Matter away with me to my house. I have a house in Portland, and I often come over in winter to write. And I was reading this book, as it had been sent in advance copy, and it's a ghost story set in the Arctic, in the depths of winter when there's no light at all. And I remember sitting in my house in Portland in the dead of night reading it and thinking, you know, I think I'll just leave this one until the morning. You know, not that I'm frightened or anything, you know, but maybe I'm just a little bit tired. You know? So it's lovely that a book, and actually a book can have that effect, and it's often much more than a film does. In a film, all the decisions are made for us. Somebody has decided what we're going to see and when we're going to see it and what it's going to look like. But books have a very insidious way of creeping into your imagination. They're much capable of being much more unsettling than a film.
Also, your book offers another way to experience the sensations because you've got a soundtrack that goes with it available as well. How did that idea come to you?
Well, for some of the earlier books, I had often licensed songs that meant something to me. Either they were lyrically or thematically suited to the books, and I'd often give them away at reading. So when people came to Longfellow or a band out of the mall, in Portland, you know, we would give them one of these CDs as a thank you for coming along. But then a young Irish composer came to me, and he had actually composed a whole suite of music around the books and around the stories. And I thought, wow, that's a really interesting thing to have done. And so if you buy The Woman in the Woods, there's a page at the back that allows you to you know, enter a website and download the soundtrack for free. It's a little extra thing to give to people. Because, you know, I think people who read are interested in other culturally open to other things as well. They go to the movies, maybe they go to the theater, they listen to music. And so it's quite nice to combine those two interests for people and to see one form of creativity reflecting on another, I think.
Now, based on the way this book ends, will the next book take place in the UK?
That's a very astute question. And yeah, the next book ranges, I'll have been publishing for 20 years next year. This will be my 20th year in publishing. And I wanted to do something kind of special to wrap up a whole sequence of the Parker novels. And so it's a big long novel that ranges from the Mexican border to the Netherlands and finally to England. So it's quite a different book. Begins in Maine and finishes somewhere very different indeed. I'm in the middle of writing it at the moment, actually. It's sitting on my computer in front of me as I'm talking to you.
Now, this is the 16th book in the Parker series. Has there been talk somewhere down the road of this ever becoming a television series?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask. You know, 5 or 6 years ago or 10 years ago, someone would have said, well, is there any talk of ever becoming a film? And it's interesting to see how far we've come and how much we've changed, and that now television seems to be the medium for books and series because it allows so much scope. So, yeah, it has been. It's under option, but, you know, I haven't put a deposit on a yacht yet. I'm trying to believe it when I see it, you know. But I get when you come along and play with the remote control, okay?
I like that a lot. Now, one of our guys here at the station who's a very big fan of your work wanted to know, do they ever let you tend bar at the Great Lost Bear?
No, you know, they've never allowed me to do that. And I often feel I should be getting like a nickel on every beer sold there.
Well, yes.
I think Dave Evans is really, I think I'm getting the thin end of the wedge. But he said, no, I've never been able to go there. They're always really kind when I go there. And it's quite lovely. It's kind of a home away from home. I've gone writing there, or I meet friends there. So yeah, Dave was very, there's a lovely, I was very, because I was quite nervous about using a real bar. I'm very careful about asking people if I can use their premises. So I remember saying to Dave Evans, you know, the owner of the Bear, would it be okay if I said a book or some of the stories in the bar? And he said, sure, that's fine. And I said, look, I won't kill anybody. And he says, you can kill anyone you want, you can start with the chef. So I thought, that was just a brilliant line. So he's been very, very understanding.
Now, you also, in the acknowledgments of the book, thanked our friend Steve McCausland from the Maine State Police and Brian McDonough, who's retired from the police. What type of assistance did they provide for you in the writing?
Brian has been incredibly helpful. It just, you know, I kind of like getting details right. And I don't want somebody who knows about a subject picking up the book and saying, well, that, we'd never do that, or that's not how these things are done. So he was really helpful in terms of procedure. I would ask, you know, how would you approach this situation? From simply the basis of the book, how would you begin to deal with the body of a young woman in the woods? If you went looking for her child, if you thought the child might be buried, how would you go looking for that? And I think people are very open. Most people just want you to get stuff right, you know, and I think they appreciate it when you make the effort. But those two gentlemen have been particularly kind to me, and I'm very, very grateful. So that's why I made sure to thank them at the back of the book.
Well, the details are wonderful. The settings are fantastic and so close to home for us. It creates a romantic Portland that I, even though we're only 2 hours away, I feel the need to head right down there right away and go into one of those establishments and see if I can find Angel somewhere there. It's wonderful.
Yeah, just tell Dave Evans we sent you, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for the price of a beer, he will give you a beer.
Well, that's a brilliant deal. We'll say, you know, John sent us. Great, what's the charge? Same as it is for everybody else.
Indeed it is. But it'll be poured with extra care and attention for you.
Even better. Well, John, the book is an absolutely wonderful read. It's great to have you back on with us again. I'm still recommending He to anybody who listens, because I thought that was such a wonderful book as well.
Oh, thank you. That's really, really kind of you. Thank you so much.
Great to have you on again with us, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All the way from Dublin, that's John Connolly talking about his terrific new book, The Woman in the Woods. And this is my first time reading a book from that Charlie Parker series, but man, I'm going back. I'm going back to the beginning and start. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and I sort of kicked myself because Scotty has been mentioning him for a number of years to me, because, you know, we just talking around the office about different things that we discover, and it's been 4 or 5 years that he's been talking about the Charlie Parker series of books, and I just have never picked them up.
Yeah, it's fun. He's a wonderful writer and a good guy as well. John Connolly with us here on Downtown.